So you're in L.A.
Yeah, we're closer together and yet further apart, John.
I feel you, though.
Wait, what?
I feel your presence on the West Coast.
Oh, okay. That's a lot less gross than I imagined. Oh, you're like, I feel ya. Like that thing, not like I have my hands upon you. Not that thing.
There's no touching in this podcast.
That's a good rule.
Okay, welcome to episode 31 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney. And we actually have a bit.
Well, it's not a bit. It's just something I need to talk about because... Oh,
okay. It's not scripted? It's just airing some concerns?
This is free-formed.
Okay. A free-form bit.
This is a free-form bit.
Okay.
But I feel like I'm an adult, right? Like in the legal sense of the word. And yet here I am sitting, talking to you with spaghetti stains on my shirt and a haircut that looks like an angry person attacked me with a Flobee.
What happened?
But like, I feel like I'm at the stage where these things shouldn't be happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this haircut thing, I got to say, has been driving me up the wall. So I go to get my haircut at my place, which we've talked about. This great place. And the Mediterranean gentlemen that are usually cutting my hair were unavailable. And there was another gentleman that was, I will just say, not white.
Okay.
And while I would never presume to be able to cut a not white person's hair, I'm not sure this not white person should have presumed to be able to cut my hair. What proceeded from there... is one of the great atrocities. I mean, obviously, look, some bad, like 9/11's really bad. I get it. Whatever, right? Those things are terrible. But like for me, as a white person, basically everything's supposed to go easy, right? And maybe that's what was happening. Maybe this guy was exacting his revenge upon my head. I said 2 inches off the top. He says, I want to do more. And I don't want to argue. Okay, just give me like a summer cut. And it is angles of hair that I did not know were possible, John. And there's a... Oh, you lost me?
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Let's try that again.
Really? Do we have to do it again?
Is this a West Coast thing?
I don't know if it is.
Yeah. Okay, so you were saying that you're non-white hairstylist, barber?
You know what, John? We got cut off there. Let's just say I got a bad haircut, and I'm very upset about it. Let's talk about some baseball.
Oh, I thought there was some golden nugget in there, no?
There was, but then I started getting all worked up, and then I was going to do a thing, and then I'd have to start over. I don't want to start over, man.
That's okay. We don't have to start over. You can jump right into the middle.
But there's no middle. It's like it's a whole linear thing. You don't like, you're not, when you're having sex with someone, you don't like jump into the middle. You start from the beginning and then you do the whole thing to the end. I mean, I guess there is a middle sometimes. I don't know. It depends on how many people there and how drunk you are.
And how drunk you are?
Yes.
Okay. So Jed got a bad haircut. The end.
Yeah.
So we want to talk baseball, headlines?
Jed got a bad haircut and learned an important life lesson. You guys fill in the blanks yourselves. Let's talk about baseball.
I guarantee we're going to get mail on that. But what really happened, Jed? Tell us.
We
can only hope. And if we do, maybe you can tell the story down the road.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into headlines. We're starting to feel the flow of the trade season, and we're starting to see. We talked about package deals last week for the Nationals, and specifically had mentioned the Marlins is with Phelps and Ramos, but that didn't happen. But they instead decided to do a deal with the Athletics.
Yeah, they got Sean Doolittle, beloved Oakland Athletics relief pitcher, Sean Doolittle, and Ryan Madsen. To shore up their bullpen. They might need maybe one more. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about, I think, these two, like going in a package somewhere. And I mean, it's a good deal for both teams. They didn't pay, the Nationals didn't give up too many good prospects. I think the number 5 prospect in their system and the number 10. But, you know, Doolittle has some health issues. If he was perfectly healthy, I think you get a bigger a bigger deal. But I think it was smart by both sides. And the weird thing about this trade is, you know, you and I were talking all these places like, oh, and the White Sox are going to trade David Robertson. And, like, you know, this is the only team that actually needed a closer. I mean, other than sort of the Rangers. Mm-hmm. So everyone else that gets traded now is just going to be setup guys.
Right.
Which changes their value because there's no Andrew Miller out there. There's no Aroldis Chapman that's going to get traded this year. I mean, those two players still exist in the world.
Right.
I just mean they won't be traded.
Right. Yeah. The person who, if I didn't know any better, would have thought that he was in that category is David Phelps. David Phelps has like a dozen teams calling on him.
And yeah, like, but I think they're hoping they get a deal,
year,
right?
Last year, he's had a so-so year this year. Awful start, but has gotten better. But it is nowhere near as consistent as he was last season. But yet, you would think he was the second coming of Andrew Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what these teams, though. I will say the Nationals, for all of whatever, I think they played it beautifully because you let enough teams fall out of it that there just becomes the supply for these, I don't even want to say second-tier relief pitchers, but third-tier relief pitchers become so abundant that what do you have to give up? Like a couple of prospects? I mean, one of the guys just came off Tommy John surgery last year. I don't think they paid a good price. They didn't pay like the Indians and the Cubs paid last year. So I think you're going to see a lot more of these kind of things. And, of course, today J.D. Martinez was traded to the Diamondbacks from the Tigers, and they – I don't want to say they got nothing in return, but I think that the position player trade market is much different than the relief pitcher market. I think you're not getting much in return.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
So this is going to be the Stitch Together episode.
And where were we?
We were talking about the A's trade with the Nationals.
Oh, right. And then I think I was saying something about how J.D. Martinez was just traded.
Yes, today.
From the Tigers to the Diamondbacks today and got very little in return. Like, just really low-end prospects because I guess the market for hitters, and he's an elite hitter. Mm-hmm. I guess the market's bad for those guys. Maybe there's just too many guys out there like Yonder Alonso and Eric Hosmer and I don't know. Like, you know who the other one is? Lucas Duda. Mm-hmm. He's another guy who's been in some trade rumors. So maybe that's just, I don't know, that's a pretty elite hitter, though, J.D. Martinez.
Is it injury issues? He's definitely, you know, a free agent at the end of the season. But yeah. Did the Tigers take on any of the contract, or was they just shipped the whole thing?
Well, they did ship the whole thing.
Okay.
Which you and I had advised last week, and I guess they weren't listening.
Right.
I guess the super rich Ilitch family is getting a little penny pinching ish now that
Papa Ilitch is gone.
Papa Ilitch has passed away. So anyway, yeah, it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks. I think it's going to go right up until the deadline. I think there's going to be a lot of movement.
I completely agree. There's going to be it'll be interesting to see, you know, like teams like the Brewers and Twins and what they do. Those are the ones that I'm, you know, because you know the big names are always going to do something, even if it's
right.
Minor, they're still going to make trades, but it'll be interesting to see how all in the Brewers are or how all in the Twins are. That'll be interesting. And also we talked a little bit about Quintana last week and, you know, what type of an impact he would have. And he had a pretty decent impact in his first game.
Yeah. 7 shutout innings with, 11 strikeouts 12, or 12?
12 strikeouts. Yeah. 11, yeah. Shutout. Yeah. That's exactly what the doctor ordered.
Yeah. And against the Orioles. No less. Yeah. It wasn't like he was picking on the Padres or something. Like, maybe he just needed a change of scenery.
Yep. And the Cubs are back in business. I think they've won 4 in a row now.
Yeah. This is what we said was going to happen. We talked about it. Just come out of the All-Star break, get some wins. I still think the Brewers can make the playoffs even without winning the division because I just don't think the Diamondbacks and Rockies have enough to get assured of a playoff spot.
The Rockies are definitely in a bit of a free fall. Although they did win, I think, yesterday or the day before, but they're definitely not the team they were in the first 2 months of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah. And there was rumors of J.D. Martinez going to Colorado, which would have been the home run show would have been he would have been his own home run derby there.
So are there any other imminent trades that you're in on or aware of or listening to?
Well, I mean, there's a. I want to do like a whole trade rumor thing.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the notes. There they are.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that later.
Yeah, so okay. That's sort of my idea is we'll get sort of more into that. Like, who do we think is on the market? I don't want to get necessarily into too much of like who should be on the market because I think there's a lot of guys on there that, you know, what does it matter? They should,
right.
Yeah, they should be, but they're not. So who cares? We'll talk about that when we do our Baldwin list.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Let's move on then to a couple of big names returning from the disabled list. Mike Trout, who was out for a short period of time. And then Madison Bumgarner, who's been out for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't know when Bumgarner's first start is, do you?
No, he started already.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he pitched against the Padres, I think, on Sunday. I will say, underrated name, Bumgarner. He gets overshadowed by Pujols. But I like the idea of Bumgarner because it's like you're gathering together a bum.
A bum, right.
And it could be like a bum, like a posterior, but also like a homeless person.
Right.
Like, is it, wouldn't a, like a soup kitchen would be a bit of a Bumgarner?
There you go. That's
these are the things I do with my free time, John.
Right. Don't Bumgarner my pool holes.
Exactly, man. Well, or maybe you should. But yeah, two elite players, Mike Trout and Madison Bumgarner. I hope that our listeners never hear that name the same ever again. Mike Trout is, you know, the best in the game and good for the Angels to get him back. And they actually held their own while he was gone. And so we'll see if they make a move to make it into the playoffs. But again, the game's always better when the best players are playing.
Right. How effective was Bumgarner on Sunday?
He started off very effective. And then I think he kind of got flattened out a little bit in the fourth or fifth inning, something like that. You know, a person with more research inclination than myself might.
I've had guests in town for the last 2 weeks, so my weekends have been occupied with running around, so have not been plugged into the baseball world. Last week we talked about it, didn't even see any of the
Well, you can plug into me, John.
I can feel you.
Okay, no touching.
Hands off the keyboard right now. So, speaking of injuries, we have two coming on, and it looks like a weird injury, too. Carlos Correa last night, you know, swings his bat and tears his thumb ligament.
The Lord of Baseball giveth, and the Lord of Baseball taketh away. Carlos Correa aggravated his thumb injury that he got when he slid into home and tore his thumb. Or, I guess he didn't aggravate it. It was hurt, and then it's now torn.
Yeah, and it was a check swing. It wasn't like a violent swing, but it just was enough that it did the damage.
I'm a big fan of thumbs.
Yeah, they're necessary for a lot of things.
As a homo sapiens, hashtag no homo. People with no thumbs, with no opposable thumbs, say hashtag no homo sapiens. You need them to swing a bat. Yeah. So he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. This is basically what was wrong with Trout.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was just sort of like the Lord of Thumbs was like, okay, you got one back. I'll take the other one. So then the other injured guy is Michael Pineda Michael Pineda. I ran into a friend of mine this weekend, a Yankee fan, and I was like, oh, Michael Pineda. I said, hey, good news. He's not going to give up any more home runs.
Yeah, that's the Yankees didn't need that. I mean, that pretty much, I think, assures them unless they go out and make big trades, and they're not. That's just not their MO right now. That may seal the deal for them falling out of the wild card hunt.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're going to have to do something. I think you mentioned earlier, like, the big names are going to do the big. They got to do something.
But they've been so quiet. You know, up until last year when they kind of.
I think they're in love with their prospects. And I, you know, after what happened with Aaron Judge, it's hard to. But, you know, that just doesn't happen with every player. As a matter of fact, I think the success rate is actually much lower than every player.
Well, if you look at. So Judge, who came up last year and didn't do much, didn't show that, you know, other than the fact that he's big and has the Herculean body, he didn't do much when he was up. But you had Greg Bird, who had a great year before he got hurt 2 years ago. He's out also, and his career may be over for all we know. He may be going under surgery after sitting out for the
He is going to do the surgery. That came out today. It's going to do the ankle surgery. He thinks he'll be back playing this season, but I think that sounds like Greg Bird's mom talking more than Greg Bird. So, yeah. And, you know, the Aaron Judge thing, he looked like he could hit balls very far, and he looked last year like he was going to strike out too much. And then he made an adjustment or whatever. And now, you know, people are like, this guy's the face of baseball. I mean, he doesn't really have the face for the face of baseball, but no. He has, like, the face for the radio of baseball. But he's a superstar, you know. He's a freak, and it's awesome, you know. And I just don't think that I know every prospect doesn't turn out that way, and they've got guys to trade, and they should trade. They're close enough.
Well, I saw a photo during the pregame for one of the weekend games with Fox. And Frank Thomas was standing next to him in the batting cage, and he made Frank Thomas, the rotund Frank Thomas, look small.
The big hurt was like a little boo-boo.
Yeah, he was. I was surprised because, you know, he's looking up. He's got a good 5 inches on Frank Thomas.
He's such a monster dude.
Yeah, he's
Did you see that home run that Jackie Bradley Jr. stole?
I did not, no.
In the triangle at Fenway Park, which is one of the hardest Red Sox places, fan.
Yeah,
but it's the weirdest little thing on a field. But whatever, tradition, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he hit it almost to the deepest corner of the triangle, and Bradley went up over the railing and caught a ball.
Wow.
Home run. Takes away the home run.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, a very impressive. First of all, he hit the hell out of the ball. Very impressive hit because he'd been sort of struggling. He's 0 for.
Yeah, they're already saying he left all his energy at the home run derby.
Yeah, and then I think the one base hit he got in the Red Sox series was like a dribbler to the, you know, to the left side that he beat out. He's gonna have, all players have these cold streaks, but yeah, maybe he got a little too geeked up from the. The home run derby. Right. But anyway, crush this ball. This is a ball, home run in almost every park. Jackie Bradley Jr. proving why they didn't trade him in the offseason for Chris Sale. I don't know if you knew that, but he was one of the original players they asked for. Wow. And they're like, no.
Smart
move. No, you can't have him.
No.
Him and Benintendi, they were like, look, these guys are already major leaguers. We're not going to make our team weaker in other areas to get Chris Sale. You can have Yoan Moncada and Michael Kopech.
Which was pretty good.
And Miguel DeBron or whatever, something DeBron or something. Pretty impressive haul still.
They did okay. It just fine.
Everybody did great, but the White Sox got a lot of great players there. And they're going to get a lot more great players, I think. Probably not. I don't think you get much for Robertson and Frazier, but we'll get to that later. Anyway, what else is in there in the news?
Dansby Swanson, number one draft pick last season, going to be sent to the minors. Maybe it brought up a little too early.
But here's the thing, right? Like he came up last season and had a great last 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Of course, you never really can tell in September, right? Because sometimes teams have quit and they're putting pitchers out that aren't the best pitchers they have to offer. So you can be September stats can be a little misleading for call ups. But why send this guy down? Like this team is not contending.
Well, yeah, they've been in second place for a good part of second place, 14 games out.
Yeah, second place under 500.
Right. And they're not.
And then didn't they just get rolled by the Cubs, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah, like you don't do this. You don't mess with a guy. You let him play it out. You don't they're like benching him and playing some other guy who's a little bit of a hot streak. Like, no. You want this guy to be your franchise guy. You don't send him back down. You let him play through it. You let him have that take his lumps, and then he'll fight his way through. He's a good hitter. Mm-hmm. I just think the Braves are so confused about how to run that team. You're not contending. You're not contending. Stop it.
Well, maybe when the fans see that they're in second place, they get all giddy and think that things are happening.
Look, there are some dumb people in Georgia. All right? Admittedly, there's dumb people everywhere, but there's some dumb people in Georgia. And it's hot and it's humid, and maybe they're not seeing straight. But there's a difference between being in second place and being second place in the American League, the National League East. Like, there's just a difference.
Yeah, huge difference. So they should just leave him alone and let him play.
That's what I say.
We'll send that on. We'll send the link on to John Hart and see what he thinks about it.
Yeah, dude, sell him. Send from Big Jed.
Big Jed.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to the Red Sox for a second here. Pablo Sandoval was given his walking papers.
Yeah.
And you have a note here that he left with a debt. He's owed a debt.
The Red Sox still owe him $60 million.
Oh, I thought, I'm looking at this like they owe him 60 bucks for a haircut or something. It's $60 million. I'm seeing 60. I'm like, I didn't hear about this one. I thought it was some
funny story. $60. Maybe this is like one of those mental lapse type things. I had a friend once, very good friend for a very long time, and we had a blow up. But right before the blow up that we had, he had borrowed 60 bucks from me.
Good timing on his part.
Very smart timing on him. And he was like, and you know what? Another thing, you're not getting your $60. Like, it was already gone by that point. But it was so funny that like this small amount of whatever. I mean, some people, that's a lot of money, and I apologize if anyone's offended, but it's really not that much money, and you should probably find another line of work if you do think that's a lot of money. But it had nothing to do with our blow up, but it became like this thing where he was just like, and I'm not going to give you that $60. Okay, fine, man. Let's just walk away.
And I'm going to stop sleeping with your mother.
Whoa, John.
No, him saying that to you. Are you?
Oh, I thought you were saying it was my dad that I was arguing with. And another thing, I'm not going to borrow your car anymore. Like, okay, this is a deal. I like this. Let's keep going down this road.
Speaking of stealing things, John Lester stole a base.
He stole a base. Now, this is, of course, this is that like rain on your wedding day, right? Like a free ride when you already paid.
Mm-hmm.
John Lester, who has trouble throwing guys, keeping guys at first base and can't throw over there. And though he does a good job of actually, his motion to the plate is so quick that it's actually hard to steal against him. So I guess it isn't like rain on your wedding day.
Not misty on your wedding
day. Maybe it's like a cloudy wedding day. But cloudy is good too, because diffused lighting is much better for photographs than sunlight. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, John.
This is the photography podcast. So Lester steals a base. Does that amend his inability to throw to first base, or it's just an interesting story?
I don't know. I don't even know why I put that on there. I just was jotting stuff down. I probably shouldn't have. Oh, maybe I was trying to do like a tie-in between him stealing the base and then Jackie Bradley Jr. stealing the home run.
Oh, there's a steal. There's a theme.
See, I think what happened was when I was putting this together, I had just had some really good coffee.
Ah.
And I may have been a little bit geeked up on the coffee and just like, oh, that's really clever. Telling you.
But since we threw the Jackie Bradley story in a little bit earlier, it may have messed up your mojo.
Also, just looking at it now, John, it's kind of embarrassing that I would even think that is clever at all. Yeah, that's anything.
Well, John Lester used to be on the Red Sox, and Jackie Bradley is.
Yeah, I gotta try a different blend of coffee next time. That didn't work out for me.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's talk a little bit about the oh, did you have more?
No, probably not.
Oh, okay. I heard a little glip, and I thought that was you trying to, hey, wait. So
wait,
let's
what?
Move on. What? No.
Good.
The Dodgers, they're looking for money. Good. They need more money.
Yeah, the destitute Los Angeles Dodgers. They just need help paying off that Matt Kemp contract that's still floating around out there. So they want to pay charge $12 million per year for the naming rights to the field. So not Dodger Stadium. That will stay Dodger Stadium.
The grass itself.
But the field. Yeah.
So it will be like Carl's Jr. Field at Dodger Stadium?
That would be the most delicious field. But then when they were on the East Coast, they'd have to call it Hardee's Field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Split down the middle.
Yeah. Same company, same logo.
When I was a kid, went into a Hardee's and my brother bit into a large like packaging staple. Could have sued him, probably walked away with a lot of money, but all we got was a free burger back.
Hey, you know what? At that age, though, That's the real prize.
That was like 45 years ago, so it was a while ago.
If it was 35 years ago, you would have sued.
Right, sued. But 45 years ago, they were like, shh, everybody's going to want a staple. Oh, that's the prize, kid. You won the prize. So anyway, so there in this, are there any brands?
Oh, Jesus, man. Never mind. I had this the dumbest joke coming. And you know what? You're welcome, listener. I censored it. Next. What's the other thing? Who cares?
Okay. Moving on.
Yes, please, John.
Commissioner Manfred names Montreal, Charlotte, and Mexico City as possible destinations for MLB teams.
Yes. See, they haven't expanded in almost 20 years, right?
It's been a while, yeah.
It's time. And the amount of talent in the league is ready for it. I think they're absolutely ready.
93 was the last expansion.
I think it was more like 97, 98, John.
No, it was the Marlins.
No, I think it was the
wasn't it
the Rays and the Diamondbacks.
Really? Were they that late? So the Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. So the Rays went to the World Series that quickly? The Diamondbacks?
Yeah, didn't they? Wasn't it like 3 years or something?
I guess you're right. You're right.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the Rockies. Was it the Rockies started?
The Rockies and the Marlins were in 93, yeah.
Right, so 93 and then 98-ish, let's say. So that's 5 years apart. And now it's been 19 years.
Yeah.
We need two more teams. So what Manfred is saying is they need to sort out the Tampa situation, which I guess isn't good news that one of the last expansion teams isn't doing well. And they need to sort out the Oakland situation.
They're apparently getting a new stadium.
They cut all their profit sharing. Not the profit sharing, it was a revenue sharing. They cut all Oakland's revenue sharing and then said, "Get your own stadium, jerks." Like, all right.
Yeah, this is the A situation has been a discussion for a new stadium for 15 years.
Yeah.
And they've never come up with a winning scenario.
Now, here's the thing. Would it really be so terrible if they left Oakland? I mean, they were the Philadelphia Athletics. Then they were the Kansas City Athletics.
Correct.
What if they became the Charlotte Athletics?
That doesn't have a ring.
I know, but then you get the franchise. You get the Athletics franchise.
Yeah. No,
taking over the storied history. I don't know. I want more teams. I want there to be 32 teams. I'm excited about that. So I don't know about this Mexico City business.
Oakland's going to lose the Raiders, the A's, and the Warriors in within a year or two of each other.
Yeah, they probably deserve it, though.
Boy. Sorry, A's fans. Sorry, Oakland. Marshawn Lynch is going to come up and open up a can of whoop-ass on you.
He's going to feel me?
He's going to feel you right through this keyboard. Feel me.
So I kind of dig the Montreal thing, though I don't think that's a good idea either. But apparently their attendance wasn't that bad before they... I don't really know their story, right? But there's a pretty strong push to get them a team. But here's the thing. Obviously, it has to be a viable team to some degree. But it doesn't have to be, like, fully viable. Like, the Rays still exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It can be a small market team.
Yeah, any team.
This Mexico stuff, though, is nonsense, though, John. Even Manfred was like, Mexico City or, like, someplace in Mexico. But, like, first of all, no. Because you got all kinds of drugs problems and immigration stuff. And also, Mexico City is higher than Denver.
Yeah, it's like 8,000 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to have players coming back. You're going to have this huge home run, these huge scoring games. Pitchers are going to be all screwed up. Everyone's going to have diarrhea. I'm totally against Mexico City as a place. Though there might be some places that are a little bit more, I don't want to say temperate, but just lower altitude.
Yeah. Puerto Rico. How about Puerto Rico?
No, come on. That's not a real place. No one wants to go to Puerto Rico, man. Come on.
I did go to a game in Montreal. I did back in 2000. I did a road trip with my son. He was 10 at the time, and my dad. We went to a Yankees game, a Mets game, a Red Sox game, an Orioles game, and a Montreal Expos game within a week. And
nice.
There was, I think, maybe 1,500 people at the Expos game. It was like playing a ball game in a hangar with nobody there. It was.
But there's some claim that they feel they have the attendance problem solved. Is that possible, or is it just a bunch of talk and Well, posturing so Portland has to up their offer or something.
I think that they will definitely support a team. I think it's partially a Loria issue because he was involved with that franchise at the time. So I think that it's been away from there for long enough, and Canada is extremely supportive of the Blue Jays because whenever the Blue Jays play the Mariners, it's a Blue Jays home game. It's unbelievable how many people come down into Seattle to go to those games from British Columbia. Yeah. And British Columbia is about as far from Toronto as, well, it is. It's just like the difference between Buffalo and Seattle. So it's, but the fans still support it. So I think that there is room for more than one Canadian national team, and Montreal sounds like a good place to me.
What about Calgary?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I said it beats Calgary. Okay, so that wraps up headlines, much maligned, much technically challenged headlines, and we seem to be on a roll here as far as technology is concerned, so let's keep going with the starting nine.
It does seem like the technical problem was on my end, listener, so I apologize.
And you still kind of go back and forth from a gravelly, crusty sound to a clean sound, but hasn't been lagging, so we'll keep going, unless it's you.
All right. No, it's definitely, my voice has been... the same the whole time.
Silky smooth?
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay. So this week, for starting nine, we didn't have one last week, so this one's got to make up for it. This will be for the summer season, nine players with barbecue sounding names or names that you would associate with the barbecue.
Yeah. So this one's a little bit more of an art piece, John. We've taken, I think, a couple weeks away from doing a starting nine.
Okay.
And so for... the summer, or shall I say Samarja.
For the Samarja,
I want to do a little bit of a concept piece of players and a barbecue. So, you know, we're going to be outside. It's going to be a beautiful day. We will see the sun's Jose Reyes.
Okay.
Right? It'll be shining down upon us. And over there, John, you can be working over at the Jason Grilly.
Uh-huh.
Right? And maybe cooking up some Joe Nathan hot dogs.
There you go.
Or if you're not into those, maybe some Ryan Zimmerman's.
Okay.
For those who don't know, he's a national, and that's a Hebrew name. Hebrew national, Ryan Zimmerman. That's a lot funnier in my head than it was out loud. Anyway.
It's always funny when you have to explain it.
That's the best kind. You're over there. You're flipping your Jake Burger,
uh-huh.
Right? With a Justin Turner, which I found out this week is the actual word for that kind of spatula used to turn meat over.
It's a Turner. It's a Justin Turner or a Turner?
It's a Justin Turner. If the name of the product is made by Justin, then it's a Justin Turner. But the generic term is just Turner.
Okay, got it.
And what are you going to do with these Hebrew Nationals or these burgers or these Joe Nathan hot dogs? Well, you're going to put them on a Dylan bun, D. But you can't just have it by itself, right? You're probably going to want some Garrett coleslaw.
Yep, that's good.
And maybe some corn on the Alex Cobb.
Yeah,
this everyone's gathered together in one juris familia.
That's great. That's awesome. That was good. I like the storytelling.
Yeah, it's a concept piece.
Yeah, that was good.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that could stand alone in a museum, an art museum. You know how they play Who's on First? I think that might one that could stick up there with that. Yeah, that
we could submit it to the Hall of Fame. Maybe they'll put it in there.
Right. That was good. I like that. And you can bring that one out every year at summer and
yes.
Dust it off and
Hebrew National. He's a national Washington national player with a Hebrew name. Hebrew National.
I got it.
Those are my favorite kind of hot dogs, by the way.
They're good. Love them.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
The only time I ever eat hot dogs is at a baseball game.
I can see that. I think they taste better at baseball games.
Yeah, there's just something about...
Yeah.
It's just, I cannot, and it's not like I'm running around looking for the best hot dog in the city, but when I'm at a baseball game, that's really the only thing I'm thinking about is a nice hot dog.
Yeah. I mean, these gourmet dogs that they have around town now in these places, it's okay, but really, there's nothing that beats a hot dog at a game. It just elevates it. Somehow.
I think I don't remember where I saw this. It was a couple years ago that like the most expensive hot dog in the United States is like $35. It's got to be an amazing hot dog.
Wasn't there? It was at a baseball stadium, right? Wasn't there like a whole thing where it was like a?
Well, no. This was just like a. This wasn't like some massive, huge hot dog. This was like at a restaurant in a kind of an upscale.
Oh, restaurant. You're thinking of a wiener dog. Like the actual dog, it's the dachshund, right?
No, dachshunds for dinner.
Dachshund, is that how it's pronounced?
Dachshund, yes.
Dachshund?
Dachshund, if you want to throw your
They renamed it to Nissan later on, didn't they? I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what's going on with my mind right now, John. It's slipping away.
Are you drinking that coffee again?
No, I probably need another coffee. What I need. I got a little jet lag, though.
It is 10:30 on the East Coast right now.
I got to say, I made a big mistake flying out here, John, not the flying out here part, but I normally stay up late the first night I get in town and then just crank the schedule back. And I didn't. I got in. I took a nap.
Ooh, scrote that.
And then I went to bed early.
And you woke up real early.
I woke up at 3 a.m.
Yes. And that ruined you.
Yeah, I'm spinning around now. What else we got? Are we done with the?
We're done with the starting nine. Right? That was a good one. I'm going to put that in the top five.
Oh, thank you. It's going to be in the starting nine of.
It'll be in the starting nine of the starting nine. Best the best of all time starting nine for the summer barbecue names. Okay, trade talk. We're going to go through the rumors. So this is our what would normally have been our what was that called?
Are you buying it?
Are you buying it? Right.
Yeah. Which this is in a sense, right? Because it's like, are you trading for it?
Right. And one of them is already off the list.
One of them's already gone.
As of today, JD Martinez. Yeah.
As of hours ago or days ago, depending on when you listen to
this. And you're sold on, he's definitely going somewhere, right?
No, he's gone.
No, I mean,
JD Martinez is going to the Diamondbacks.
So you can bank on that one.
It's banked.
It's gone. Got it. So the top name that everybody still talks about is Sonny Gray.
Right. So there's a couple other pitchers, like I think Trevor Cahill with the Padres, some talk of Dan Straley with the Marlins, though I don't know why you give up on someone like that unless you're getting something great back, I guess. And the Phillies don't really have any guys, but the starting pitcher that's still left after Quintana's gone is Sonny Gray. Oakland A's pitcher. Rough last season. Actually started off kind of rough this year, didn't he? Injury or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's been, I think in his last six starts, he's got a 1.2 ERA, which is very bueno.
Yes.
And right now, basically everyone has shown interest. I mean, except for the Dodgers, right? But even the Cubs are still saying.
Yeah, the Cubs. They might be. The Astros seem to be the front runners, but then the Cubs all of a sudden emerge that, we're not done yet.
Yeah, so you have the Cubs, you have the Astros, the Brewers, the Yankees are on that list as well of teams who've expressed interest. Yeah, and
especially
then,
now with Pinata gone.
Oh, yeah. And so, but then is that enough for them? I don't know if that's enough for them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that gives them enough to...
Yeah, and the A's now are apparently, Billy Bean says, they're going to go through a total deconstruction of the team to start over. The new ownership has said that they're going to put money into the team. They're going to put a winning product on the field so that when they do eventually move into their new ballpark, or whenever that may be, that they will be a competitive team. So he's looking at it as the potential for a complete teardown of the team.
Yeah. So that would be Yonder Alonso at first base and Sonny Gray. That's a complete teardown for them. Right.
And probably, Chris Davis, I haven't really even heard his name.
You know what? That's a good point.
Why has he not been brought up at all?
I think part of the problem for him is that he plays such a bad left field. Like, he's a bad left fielder. He's got that Matt Kemp thing where he hits the ball really hard and, is great on offense, but is so bad defensively that it's almost too negative. That doesn't make any sense. It's almost too negative? No. It almost zeros out the value.
Right. That would be a really bad left field to zero out the value.
Yeah. But that's like Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp's like that. Like, 35 home runs, zero wins above replacement because he's so bad in the outfield and on the bases. So, and Chris Davis is like that too, but if you send him to like the Red Sox where they would just DH him, whoo. Plus the Red Sox have a home run hitting problem in that they don't hit home runs. Certainly not at the pace they did last year.
No, because they're missing their big showpiece.
Oh, but the Red Sox can't do that, right? They have, technically, Hanley is DH. He's not first base like he was last year.
But he's not hitting home runs.
But he's not hitting home runs. Well, see, that's the thing is, he is actually a pretty good first baseman last year, and I think they should have left him at first base.
But Mitch Moreland's been producing, right? That's the main reason why.
He started off producing, but that dried up pretty quick.
Okay. So there's some problems there in Beantown, third base and first base. Yeah.
Third base is a black hole, and they're talking about maybe Todd Frazier. Right now, they're sort of the only team tied to Todd Frazier, and so there's good news. First of all, the J.D. Martinez trade was for not very many good prospects. So to get Todd Frazier, I mean, if you just took on the salary, you'd be... Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you give like a really low-level prospect, you know, like a number 15 in the organization kind of thing, and just like, hey, we'll handle that payroll for you. Because Frazier's not been that good this year as well. He's having some trouble with some bad luck on hitting, but he's also just not hitting enough. So
the Red Sox are pretty much the one team that has been focused on Frazier? Is he?
Yeah.
No one.
I mean,
else
I've not heard of anyone else being connected to him.
Okay,
so yeah, and that else just really came up needs within a the third
last
baseman.
Week too, as a right. as kind of like a he's definitely going there type of thing.
Right, like they're like Ken Rosenthal saying like it's an you know he's it's almost guaranteed. But why don't you just bring up Rafael Devers
why
and
don't
see what
they?
Happens?
Yeah, because one thing that I've been hearing this week is that the Red Sox are like, well, Devers is almost ready. He's almost ready. They got one of their top prospects is almost ready. It's like, well, every time you had an almost ready prospect in the last 2-3 seasons, that prospect is delivered. Bring him up.
Yeah, I mean they promoted him into promoted him to Triple A. First game 4-for-4.
That sounds like he's adjusted well.
He's ready, man. He's just ready. And he's like, he gets walks. He barely strikes out. I don't know what they're doing. But, whatever. They're smarter guys than I am. But it just seems like the move is bring up Devers. Frazier's going to be there in a month. It's not like someone else is going to pick him up.
Right.
You know, you could still – because the deadline's at the end of July, but there's still the next deadline, whatever that's called, the – the waiver deadline.
Non-waiver deadline.
Yeah. So, I don't know. He can't be better than Rafael Devers.
Yeah, and bringing Devers up isn't going to cost you anything financially or a player.
Except maybe he's not on the 40-man roster. And if they bring him up, they have to put him on the 40-man roster. That means they have to cut someone loose. And maybe they feel like with the injuries that they have, the guys on the DL that they have that are not the 60-day DL. Little lesson for people, baseball. A team has a 40-man roster, and everyone's on it that plays on the major league teams and some guys who are in the minor leagues. And all injured players go on there unless they're on the 60-day disabled list. And that is why the 60-day disabled list exists, is so they can basically go to a 41-man roster or a 42-man roster. Mm. Or so on and so on, so that you're not... A team doesn't get crippled by injuries, basically.
Right. Gotcha.
So maybe that's their logic.
Okay, we have a couple
know.
Other. Yeah, there's a couple other people, too. Zach Britton, we've talked about him in the last few weeks as well as a candidate.
I mean, the big red flag for him is that he's not closing for the Orioles. He's back from injury, and he's not closing. And there was a game, I think it was yesterday, where he didn't close, and he didn't set up.
No, he's mopping up.
Yeah, so... Are you really going to get, like, why trade him unless you're going to trade him for an Andrew Miller kind of situation?
Right.
If he's not 100%, don't trade him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they shouldn't, unless they're just bringing him back to try to showcase him. But if he's showcasing in the sixth inning, that's not doing much.
Yeah, like there's no value in that. But the word on the street is that the Orioles are, and I don't know what streets, but I hear that the word on the street is.
That urine street in New York that you
left. Yeah, right? You know what it is? It's the streets of Twitter.
Okay, Twitter Street.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so on Twitter Street, they're saying that the Orioles are open to moving players, with the exception of like Manny Machado and a couple other guys. They are open to blowing it up a little bit. Hmm. Which, you know, I mean, maybe they should trade Manny Machado. We were talking earlier about some teams who should make moves.
That's a move that would get them a lot, a ton.
But would you get more in the offseason? I think some people have the idea that you can get more for a position player in the offseason. I don't know what the numbers are on it, but I've heard that. So, of course, I've heard a lot of things.
Yeah, usually this deadline is a lot of the free agents to be that are rentals for the next 2 months. Also, David Robertson, and he's been a trade candidate for the last two seasons and hasn't moved yet.
Hasn't moved because the White Sox were playing the old, the Nationals will come
knocking at our door.
And he may still. Like, the Nationals do still need another reliever.
Yeah, they need a bona fide closer. They do not have one, and even with the two they picked up, Doolittle.
Yeah, because Doolittle's exceptional.
Doolittle used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he used to be injuries. A closer, but he's much better a situational closer than he is as a dominant player. And Madsen has played that part, but has been inconsistent.
And I think the story about him is he actually has said he likes being the eighth inning guy, not the closer.
Not the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know.
What about Pat Neshek?
So you got Pat Neshek, Brad Hand, the Marlins pitchers. They're all in this sort of thing of like, I think all of them are going to move to contenders. And it's just sort of like, you go to the market, you see what's in the barrel, you buy what's in the barrel. So, you know, the Red Sox will get Neshek, and then the Yankees will get Brad Hand, and then David Phelps from the Marlins will go over to the Nationals. I think it's just going to be kind of like that. I don't think you're going to see a lot of value being traded there. But, you get something. They get some lottery tickets, and you never know.
Right.
I mean, what's that guy that the Marlins traded for Dan Straley, Luis Castillo?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this guy's electric and a half. He's his own Department of Water and Power.
Wow.
He's awesome. Super gas for the Reds. And I think the Marlins got Castillo from the Padres.
Right.
And then sent him on to the Reds. For free, basically.
Basically.
So, I don't know. Get a lottery ticket. You never know. Maybe grab a backup catcher out of it or something, or a utility player. Who knows? It's a fun time for baseball. You know, you have the All-Star break, and then you have sort of like the second half, and everything's going, and it's the only sport going now, and there's these trades. It's a fun time.
Yeah, and I think it will be interesting to see come next week what we're looking at that has happened from this list. Who's going to move from this list between now and next week? So
because as you mentioned, we already have one guy gone from the list.
Yeah, so we'll just keep kind of keeping an eye on this.
Yeah, I mean, right now we could have missed a trade.
Looked very well
as could we're talking.
A new one. Yeah,
yeah.
And interesting.
And another one.
And if you're listening to this next week, there's probably every single person on this list has been traded.
But I will say one thing for sure, John. If someone's listening to this next week, all of our predictions have come true.
Yeah, I believe that's pretty. So, and you know, I guess one question we would have to find out if can we delve into the analytics of the iTunes universe and find out, how soon people listen. I don't even know if any of this is available, but how soon people listen to a podcast once it's posted. Is any of that information available?
Not that I know of, no. They're pretty closed source.
Okay. But do we have any idea what our total audience is?
Yeah, I mean, we average about 50 to 70 a week.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And growing, because that's much better than the one that we used to have for the longest time.
Yes, the numbers were very low for some time.
But slowly but surely, this train's going to gain some momentum.
And fortunately, it's not a New York City subway train, which would derail and then or be stopped because someone put trash on the tracks and set it on fire.
And everyone's sweating in the cars under the streets of New York in the summer. Good
times. It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, that wraps up the baseball portion of our show. And we're into extra innings.
Let's
and
do it.
We're moving much faster than we did last week. That's for sure. This show.
Yeah, last week. And my apologies, by the way. I listened to what we did last week, and boy, did we just ramble.
And I cut 15 minutes out. So believe it. It went from 140 down to 125. So, and I think right now we've got about 6 minutes of dead time due to some technical issues, but this will make up for it. So you'll be able to breeze right through this one and feel like you haven't lost much of your day. So let's move into the extra innings portion, looking at what's going on outside of the world of baseball. We have, I think you put the Garbin Muguruza in there for me to try to pronounce it. Is that correct?
John, you know me too well. This is a real thing that happened, though.
It did, and it was competitive in the first set and a total whitewashing 6-love in the second set.
Yeah, I obviously, whenever a name like this shows up in the sports headlines, I'm going to put it down for us to discuss so I can hear you pronounce it.
Pronounce it. I did know her name, though, Garbin Muguruza.
Yes, and Garbin, or as her friends call her, Garby.
Is that like Gabby Sabatini back in the day?
I have no idea. That's right, it is like that.
Garby. Garby.
So Garby is the first person, or the only person, first and only, to beat each of the Williams sisters in a finals.
Ah, you know what? I did not even make that connection because Muguruza won the U.S. Open a couple years ago, right? Was it the U.S. Open?
I have no idea.
I believe it was the U.S. Open, I think.
Fantastic.
But did you, I know the answer to this, did you watch the Wimbledon men's final?
I did not.
Well, this one is more interesting in the event that you rarely have a Grand Slam final where one of the players breaks down in tears and is having a panic attack midway through the match.
Right, because we're not talking about my sex life right now. We're talking about a tennis match.
No. We're talking about Marin Cilic had a emotional breakdown after playing fairly well in the first set, but Roger Federer broke him, and he wound up winning the first set 6-3. In the second set, Cilic was having a tough time and got really frustrated to the point where he called out the trainers. The trainers sat with him for 3 or 4 minutes, did not look at a single thing wrong with him, but he sat there and cried for a while. There was nothing, they didn't even look at him, and it was hard to watch.
Wow.
Okay, let's see. Michael Vick popped up and starts talking about Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
He said his play is the issue, not his protest. And there is some truth to that.
Yes, but is Michael Vick a person who should be throwing any stones?
Because he kind of fits in the similar category, right? As soon as he lost his legs and got arrested, his career ended.
Yeah, like, I just feel like a person who's, like, passing judgment should not be in his situation.
Yeah. It's not like Tom Brady's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Tom Brady wouldn't be the right person also because he's not African-American. But, I don't know. It's a little weird coming from Mike Vick.
Yeah, he's not an authority.
But, you know, every dog has his day.
Unless you're owned by Michael Vick, and in that case, maybe not.
Well, it depends on what his day is for.
Right.
It could be for fighting to the death.
He's a winner.
But yeah, no, Colin Kaepernick can't get on a team because he's not any good. I think that the only reason why he was even on the 49ers last year for the full season was because he was protesting.
Yeah, and they didn't want to make it.
They didn't want to make it like this ugly scene where he's protesting and then they cut him. But he was a bad player last year. And that's why no one wants him this year. That's how the NFL works. They got domestic abusers. They got, hell, Ray Lewis killed a man.
And still.
And still went on to have a long, illustrious career. They don't care if you're good.
But isn't it hard, though, to fathom the rapid decline? Because he was viewed as a broke-the-mold quarterback.
It was incredible.
He was. I had never seen anybody run like him, ever. He had another gear.
It was awesome.
Incredible. Yeah, but how do you go from in the Super Bowl to nobody?
I don't know. Ask, was it Robert Griffith?
Similar story.
Remember? But he blew out his knee, and that was the end of him. Because he lost 10% or whatever, and that 10% was what made him special. And so Kaepernick probably injured something, or it's probably injury, right? These guys are all injured. These right. NFL players are yeah. taking a beating. And, you know, you just lose that 10%, and the 10% is what makes you special over everyone else. Then, you know, that's it. It's over. And the only reason why he's worked the last couple of years, well, last year I think it was only because of the protests, but the year before that even was just because, remember a few years ago when he was so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's like that, that a guy with the girlfriend or the girl with the boyfriend who's like, oh, remember when we first dating, he was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
he's cheating
on
you
back.
Every week with a different person.
But
I have hope.
Speaking of women.
Oh, yeah.
And you may be surprised to hear this, but I have never seen a Doctor Who episode dating back to the 70s Doctor Who all the way up through the yeah. current day Doctor Who. I have never seen Doctor Who.
I don't think that's as egregious as some of the other egregious pop culture things that we've talked about.
Are you a Who fan?
I am not a Doctor Who fan, but I have imbibed.
And they've had, what, like a half a dozen different characters, actors play the lead?
I think it's more like a dozen.
Is it really that? Because it's been around since the 70s, right?
No, wait a minute. Yeah, no, isn't it? It's like a dozen.
Might be.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. What's cool is it's going to be a woman, because it's sort of like this thing where they keep having different people play it, but the canon for the show has some explanation why the presence of Doctor Who transfers to another thing. Yeah, have a woman out there. Why not?
Yeah, I can't add anything to this conversation because I know nothing about the show.
Well, what's interesting to me about it was, I think this was done as sort of like a, whoa, look, and all the sexists are going to come out. And like, no one cared. It was just like, oh, okay, that's fine. And yeah, like 8 guys right in the United States on the internet were like, well, I can't do this or whatever.
Right.
Maybe they were in the UK. Maybe someone cared. But it was so funny to see people tweeting about like, oh, the alt-right outrage at this. No one cares. just no one cares. Like, oh, that's cool. That's a nice change. Great. It's not like they had a character who was someone for X amount of years, and then the one change that they made was making it a woman. This is a character that's mm-hmm. been changing. It's the essence
right.
of the character.
Constantly changing. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's going to be some guy out there who's going to say some snarky thing, but most of the guys, no one cares. But everyone's so ready to outrage.
Right.
They jump on it, they preempt the outrage. They're like, look, oh, look at all this outrage. And it's like one guy who's like, I didn't know it could be a woman. Like, oh, his evil white nationalist, sexist misogyny comes through. All right. Dial it down. Save it for the Trump tweets, people.
Yeah.
You're doing the Lord's work there. Attack the Trump tweets. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to fix everything.
And last but not least, definitely not least, is Game of Thrones.
Yes, Game of Thrones started.
Kicked off on Sunday. How exciting was
course,
that first episode?
I've DVR'd.
Oh,
because I'm out of town. So don't, no spoilers. But I thought was so interesting was, do you remember, oh gosh, 3 seasons ago, I did like a whole Game of Thrones
yeah.
thing mm-hmm. where it was like, what teams are the different characters of Game of Thrones?
Yes, I remember that.
Right? And obviously it's a little conflated to take teams and conflate them to characters. But this year, have you seen all the, which politicians are Game of Thrones? Which baseball players? Which, it's everywhere. The which people
stole,
are the Game of Thrones.
They stole your idea?
They stole my thing, man!
Wow.
Which I probably stole
that?
From someone else, so who cares? I did not trademark it. I don't think I could because Game of Thrones is copyrighted in itself.
Probably,
I think I'm exercising my own.
All you would have to do is have it Jed's Game of Thrones. Then it would be different.
Yeah, I don't think people would care about that. I think actually I would get in more trouble, I think, if I did that than just referencing their copyrighted material.
And I thought we were going to be able to talk all about it, but I guess not, because you have to watch it. So.
Well, the thing is, we shouldn't talk about the show, the content of the shows. That's not the right. nature of our thing here, because this isn't like, you know, Watch the Thrones or, hey, who's on the throne tonight podcast about this. Someone else, they can go listen to those podcasts for that. I just more am interested in the sort of the cultural phenomenon of this show, which, you know, the first season it came out, each episode averaged about 2 million viewers, and now it's 7, 8, 9 million viewers per episode. It's like this whole thing, and you, when the show's on, you have to get off Twitter because people are losing their minds, and oh my God, did you see what Cersei did, and Daenerys, oh my gosh, and don't her arms look a little fatter than they did the season before, and...
Now, we wound up watching the last two episodes from last year to kind of prep us for the opener for this season. And last year, my wife and I said, well, let's watch a couple of the episodes. And we wound up watching the whole previous season. So we did a whole binge watch an entire Sunday.
I find it hard to binge that show, though. I will say it's heavy.
There's a lot going on, a lot to comprehend, that's for sure.
I mean, I say that as a comedy writer, it's hard to watch a show like that because it certainly puts you in a mindset that's not very humorous.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood and guts and death.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people dying. There's bad people dying too, but the normal thing where sort of good conquers evil isn't always sort of there in this show. Which just makes it, you know, an exceptional quality to the show.
Remember how I was saying, you know, like 20 minutes ago that we're going to be much shorter? We have spent almost 20 minutes on four items in extra innings.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I think you should go back and cut some of it out. This is garbage.
I might do that.
Let's just end off. Yeah, cut all that tennis stuff out. No one cares.
Yeah, no one cares about tennis. We could probably cut out the tennis, the Doctor Who, and we'll just leave Game of Thrones and Michael Vick.
Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Or don't. No, who cares?